Atapu, haere mai ki konei.
Morena, Elijah and Karen here. We are the lead pastors of Unite Church, a family of house churches with one oversight and a shepherd's community committed to the work that God has for us.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus according to the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Would we be those who know, practice, and carry the love of Jesus?
Knowing the love of Jesus in our hearts.
Practicing it in prayerful community.
I was going to say that. And carrying it as missionaries to this world.
Amen. Before we say anything else, if the children in your neighborhood church are not in the room right now, I invite you to pause this video and go get them. We want to share a Bible story from the Jesus storybook.
Yes.
Bible. Fun for the whole family. So, but first, a quick thought about parables. As we read through Matthew, we're invited to hold tensions, to journey together, and to trust the story that God is telling. As we do this, let's remember the goal of parables. Jesus spoke in parables to show us how he sees the world. We must understand that we have cultural assumptions that aren't from the heart of God, that are kind of perversions and twists from his good intent. Mm. And so Jesus comes to show us how the world's supposed to be. The parables are about God, his story, his heart, and his personality. Mm. The goal is not to understand every symbolic detail, but to allow the work of the invisible and personal presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to search our hearts and lead us into greater trust of him. These mini narratives are a form of indirect communication to reveal and test the heart or true intention of a person or community, and really to invite them into surrender and trust, to let go of having the weight on their shoulders and allow Jesus to hold that for them. Jesus uses this form of indirect communication to speak past the principle, which is essentially a moral truth or value that you can apply and control and be God of yourself, and to the heart, the core of a person, being our response to the person of God. Why does he do this? Because Jesus was inviting those listening into a relationship that starts at the core of their beings, not just a behavior change or an attitude change, but something at the core of their hearts. So a key question to ask here is, what is Jesus revealing to me about the state of my heart? Where is he inviting me to see things his way and to receive his love? So, with that done, let us get into a story from the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is an interpretation for children of Scripture. We're going to read a parable that speaks to us about the kind of father that God is. Mm. Children, are you ready? We'll just pause this again to get you.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I thought that was funny. That's why I did it twice.
I didn't get the memo.
I have two goals for reading the story, this story interpretation of Scripture. One is to set a firm foundation for our children on core truths of who God is and how they can come to him freely. And two, I want to allow the Spirit to challenge many of us that some of our faith understanding may be built on what we can do for God.
Mm.
And I'm believing that the Holy Spirit will help us shift from that place of us trying to do better, trying to do right, or giving up completely, and instead allowing Jesus to show us that he came to show us what he would do for us, and to invite us into this relationship of grace and receiving his love. So I pray for his Holy Spirit to be forming us and loving us as I read this. Are you ready?
Yes.
So, all right.
Mr. Burton, take it away.
Running away. This is what it's called. And there's the picture. Jesus told this story about a boy who ran away. Once upon a time, there was a boy and his dad. Now, one day the boy gets to thinking, maybe if I didn't have my dad around telling me what is good for me all the time, I'd be happier. He's spoiling my fun, he thinks. Does my dad really want me to be happy? Does my dad really love me? The son never thought of he'd never thought of that before, but suddenly he doesn't know anymore. So the son goes to his father and says, "Dad, I'm better off without you. I can look after myself. Just give me my share of your money." His father is sad, but he won't force his boy to stay. So he gives his son what he wants. The son takes the money and goes on a long, long journey to a far-off country. And everything's wonderful and perfect. The end. Oh, wait. For a while. He can go wherever he wants and do whatever he wants, be whoever he wants. He is the boss. He is free. Sometimes he gets a strange, hungry, homesick feeling inside his heart. But then he just eats more, or drinks more, or buys more clothes, or toys, or goes to more parties until it goes away. But soon his money runs out, and so do his friends. He ends up getting the only job he can find, feeding pigs. Yuck. Do you reckon you'd like that job? One day he is so hungry and so desperate, he even tries some piggy food. This is him trying some piggy food.
Not tasty.
"What am I doing?" he says suddenly, as if he has woken up from a nightmare. He spits, yuck, all of it, ugh, out of his mouth. "My father is rich, and here I am in a pigsty eating piggy food." He wipes his mouth and dusts himself off. "I'm going home." As he starts for home, though, he begins to worry. "Dad won't love me anymore. I've been too bad. He won't want me for his son anymore." So he practices his "I'm sorry" speech. All this time, what he doesn't know is that day after day, his dad has been standing on his porch, straining his eyes, looking into the distance, waiting for his son to come home. He just can't stop loving him. He longs for the sound of his boy's voice. He can't be happy until he gets him back. The son is still a long way off, but his dad sees him coming. Can you imagine? What will the dad do? Fold his arms and frown, shout, "That'll teach you," and "Just you wait, young man." No, that's not how this story goes. The dad leaps off the porch, races down the hill, through the gap in the hedge, up the road. Before his son can even begin his "I'm sorry" speech, his dad runs to him, throws his arms around him, and can't stop kissing him.
The picture.
There he is. "Let's have a party," his dad shouts. "My boy's home. He ran away. I lost him, but now I have him back." Jesus told them, God is like the dad who couldn't stop loving his boy. And people are like the son who said, does my dad really want me to be happy? Jesus told people this story to show them what God is like and to show people what they are like. So they could know however far they run, however well they hid, however lost they were, it wouldn't matter because God's children could never run too far or be too lost for God to find them.
Ooh.
And there is our story. Hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
I felt like Susie Cato.
And then quick thought from me. Over the past few weeks, we've been reading a lot about the life of Jesus through Matthew, and I thought it'd be helpful for us to look back and pinpoint a few things we can learn about the character of Jesus. It's important for us as apprentices to be identifying and learning about how Jesus carries himself in the world and also his relationship with the Father. If we're not learning this, how can we apprentice well? If we're not learning and then practicing, how can we apprentice well? Jesus speaks to the heart and not necessarily answers the questions as we would hope. And this can either be infuriating or it shows us what matters most to him. The core of us, the spirit of us, the depths of us. At times we want quick fix answers, but that'll do as much good as a plaster on a broken leg. He is aware of all. I'm thinking mostly of the story of the lost sheep, but also of the times we see the Pharisees and the Sadducees and how Jesus speaks right into their space. He's speaking to them, to what they think, to what they feel, not just throwing out random nice thoughts. He constantly is speaking about the importance of relationships, how we treat each other, how we need to forgive each other, how to love each other. Jesus teaches us that forgiveness is a priority and showing mercy is key, and that how we perceive fairness has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And there's a few stories that we've read about. I'm sure many of you, including me, have been like, that's not fair. What? He is consistently pointing us to God the Father. There are several times in the last few chapters where Jesus mentions his Father, and it shows us where his mind and his heart are at constantly, which is pleasing the Father. He listens, he takes time, he's compassionate towards those who have questions or illness or weakness. Those who are prideful, he speaks to the heart of their accusations and their questioning. Jesus is committed to fulfilling Scripture. He knows the Scripture and knows his part to play in it. This leads me to believe that as practicing apprentices of Jesus Christ, all these things we can learn from. It isn't enough to just read about Jesus doing them in the Bible and think, oh, that's nice. Good on you, Jesus. He calls us into this space of practicing, prioritizing the Father, our human relationships, and those who need our compassion and mercy. How are we being shaped into his likeness day by day?
Fantastic. Which leads us to these questions for us to consider. Tahi, what kind of Father is our God like?
Arua, how is Jesus forming you at the moment?
And Toru, how is Jesus leading us to love one another?
To end, let's make some time to stop and consider our money and treasures before God. Jesus makes it really clear, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. I invite us to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our money as a part of our apprenticeship to Jesus in this community of Unite.
Awesome, absolutely. And also, I just want to say, if you want to contact us, get baptized, get involved in a neighborhood church, discuss starting a neighborhood church, or begin to give regularly into what we're doing, and because the Holy Spirit's stirring you to, you can go to unitechurch.org.nz and do that there.
Nice. We're starting up two new rhythms for the year. Kids Bible Club on Monday at 3:30 to 5 p.m. The Unite Hall for children that are primary school aged. And a youth event for the city on Thursdays, 7 to 8:30 p.m. starting March the 7th.
Fantastic. And our next monthly All-In, you already know when it is. Hey, the last Sunday of every month, February the 25th, 10 a.m. Karen speaking. It's going to be good. May we rest in the goodness of the Father. May we trust in Jesus as our Lord. May the Holy Spirit form and guide us as we journey together. May we practice Christ's love and community. And may we partner with God in putting the world back together. And above all else and in all things, may we know, may you know that you are truly and wholly and deeply and personally loved by God himself.
We're praying for you in the love of our Lord Jesus. Aroha nui.
See ya.